Today's shiur is Perek Chavdalid Mehilchos Ishus, the 24th chapter of the Laws Concerning Women. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Hanosei asa ailonis v'lo hayu lo banim v'lo isha acheres lifras v'lirbos mimena afo pisha kofin oso umotzi harihi kechal hanashim v'yesh laksuba ushar tnoi ksuba. A man who marries a barren woman, that is a woman who is totally incapable of having a child because she is not built as a woman, and she did not have any children, neither did he have another wife from whom he can be fruitful and multiply. Even though the law is that we compel him to give her a divorce, she is nevertheless like all other women, and she is entitled to a ksuba, as well as all the other conditions, the stipulations of the ksuba, such as providing for her food, her doctor bills, and ransoming her if she is ever taken captive. And conversely, the husband also is entitled to those things that any other husband would be entitled to if it would be with another woman, such as her earnings, her inheritance, and so on. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Aval hanosi isha v'lo hikir bach v'nintzis ailonis o mechai v'lavin. However, if a man marries a woman, he weds her, and he didn't know about her defect, and then he discovers her to be an islandess, a barren woman, or one of the women to whom he is forbidden by way of a negative commandment. V'chein hanosi shniya, and the same would apply to a man who marries a woman who is a secondary level forbidden relationship. Those are the rabbinical restrictions. And in this case, the Rambam says it makes no difference. Bein hikirba, bein lo hikirba, whether he knew it beforehand or he did not know it, ein lo ikir ksuba, she's not entitled to the basic amount of the ksuba, velo tnai mitnai ksuba, and she's not entitled to any of the stipulations of the ksuba. Avol tosefes yeshla, she is entitled to the supplementary amount of the ksuba. As we learned in the earlier chapters of Hilchos Ishus, a woman is given a ksuba which has a basic amount, a statutory amount, such as 200 zuz for a virgin, 100 for a non-virgin. And then there's what is called tosefes, the tosefes ksuba, the additional supplementary amount which the husband obligates himself to give her in the event that he divorces her or he dies. That is considered to be a gift that he gives her out of the love and affection that he has for her because of the intimacy that he enjoys with her. And therefore, no matter what has happened, no matter what developments occur, she is entitled to this supplementary amount as a gift. She is not entitled to be fed by her husband even after his death. When they force him and they separate them, we do not take away the fruits that the husband ate. Any of the fruits that he had enjoyed during this marriage, he does not have to reimburse her for. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. V'lama ein lohen ikir v'yesh lohen tosfos. Why, the Rambam asks, are they not entitled to the basic and statutory amount of the ksuba, while they are entitled to the supplementary amount? And the answer is, ha'ikir shehi takanas chachamim kidei shelo tia kala be'enav lehotzia. Ho'il v'lo hikir bo ein lo ikir. The statutory ksuba, the basic amount, the Rambam says, was instituted by the sages in order that the husband should not think lightly of dismissing his wife. Since in this case he was not aware of her defect, she is not entitled to the statutory ksuba. Avol tosefes shehu chayiv atzmo ba kolz man shetirtze v'tamud lefanov harei amda b'tnai shelo v'harei hiknis lo hana'asa v'harei hi omedes lefanov. However, with regard to the supplementary amount, he himself has assumed an obligation for it as long as she is willing to stay with him and she has in fact kept her part of the agreement and given him the benefit of her being with him. She's staying with him. What is the problem? Aval ha-Torah asra osa olav. U'mahi yichola lasos. It is the Torah that had forbid her to him. What is she to do? L'fichach yesh la-tosfos. She'ein maseo hein hagar min lo lehi aser acha ha-nisuyin ela asura ha-isa mikodem. That is why she is entitled to the supplementary amount. It is not her own doing that is responsible for her becoming forbidden after the marriage. Rather, she was forbidden to him even before the marriage. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. V'lama lecholku bashniya bein shehikir ba bein shelo hikir ba ela amru ein la ikir ksuba b'chol makom. The Rambam then questions, why is it that with regard to the shnia, to the secondary level of forbidden relationship, the rabbinical prohibitions, the rabbis did not make the distinction between the case when he knows that she had that defect before the marriage, as compared to the case where he doesn't know about it until later? Why is there no difference? But they said instead that she loses, she's not entitled to the basic amount of the ksuba in either case. The Rambam answers, "Mepnei shehi medivrei sofrim asu b'chizuk." Because it's only of rabbinical origin, the rabbis have reinforced this prohibition. They have made it stronger, because whenever we're dealing with a prohibition that is of rabbinical origin, people might be lax, thinking that it's not really that important, it's not in the Torah. That's why they reinforced it, and they made no distinction that she's not entitled to her basic statutory amount of the ksuba in either case. Aval im nasa achas mchayvi lavin vihikir bo, o achas mchayvi ase bein hikir bo, bein shelo hikir bo, yesh lo ksuba. Shechayvi lavin shehikir bo, ratza lozen benachasov. Chayvi ese isurim kal. If, however, he marries a woman forbidden to him by a negative commandment, and is aware of her defect, or if he marries a woman forbidden to him by inference of a positive commandment in the Torah, and is, or perhaps is not aware of her defect, either way, she is entitled to her ksuba. And the reason for this is, for in the case of a woman forbidden by a negative commandment, when he married her, even though he was aware of her defect, he showed thereby his willingness to maintain her out of his property. As for a woman forbidden by way of inference from a positive commandment, in this case, the prohibition is considered to be a light one, and therefore she's entitled to her ksuba. V'yesh l'shteyem mizonas lachar moso. Both of them are also entitled to be fed, provided with their food, after his death. That means that during his lifetime, they're not entitled to be fed and provided by him, because it is forbidden for them to stay there. But after his death, they do get the food. Likewise, if she borrowed money with which to provide herself with food, the husband is obligated to pay for it. That's in the case where the husband went overseas to a remote place, and he leaves her without any food, and she borrows. The husband will have to pay for it. Now, when they compel the husband to dismiss her, to give her a divorce, she is entitled to recover from him all of the fruits that he benefited from of all of her property. Since the marriage was totally illegal, he was not entitled to those fruits, and therefore she has a right to recover them. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Hamima enes ein lo ksuba, avotos was yeshlo. A woman who exercises her right of refusal, that is, a girl under the age of 12, a minor, who is married not by her father, who is biblically authorized to marry her off to someone, but by her mother or brother, when the marriage is only of a rabbinical force, she has the right to tell two witnesses that she refuses to stay with this man, and that takes the place of a divorce for this type of woman. She is not entitled to a ksuba, because she herself is leaving her husband against his will. But she is entitled to the supplementary amount of the ksuba. And that, again, is because it's considered to be a gift that he gives her because of the intimacy that he enjoyed with her. We do not take away the fruits that the husband used during the time that he was married to her. If she had to borrow money when she was still with him, with which to buy food for herself, and then afterward she refused to be with him, we do not take any of the money from the husband to pay for this food. Just as she does not have a right to collect her ksuba, so too she is not entitled to one of the stipulations of the ksuba, namely the husband providing the food for his wife. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Misha zinta tachas baila ein lo ksuba, lo ikir v'lo tosefes, v'lo echad mitnoi ksuba, shahare maiseha garmala lehi'aser al baila. A woman who commits adultery while she's under her husband is not entitled to a ksuba. She's not entitled to the statutory amount, the basic amount of 200, nor is she entitled to the supplementary amount, nor to any of the stipulations of the ksuba, such as food, and so on, because it is her own actions which have caused her to become forbidden to her husband. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. V'heich din nashim elu b'nedunya shelahen. Now the question is, what is the law concerning these women in regard to their dowry? That is the money they brought into the marriage for their husbands. What do we do with this? And the Rambam explains, Kol Isha, Shenidunyasa Kayemez, Afilozinsa, Notela Shalava Holechas. Any woman whose dowry is still in existence may take what is hers and go her way, even if she had committed adultery. If she was only of a secondary degree of prohibition, the rabbinical prohibitions, or one of those prohibitions that is based on an inference from a positive statement in the Torah, whether he knew about it beforehand, whether he did not know about it until after the marriage, or if she was a barren woman, or if she was one of the negative commandments, she was someone who was forbidden to him because of a negative commandment that he knew about before the marriage, he was aware of it. She has, as far as her dowry is concerned, the same status as any other wife. The iron she property, the husband is liable for it. As we learned before, that if anything happens, if they're stolen or lost, he has to pay for it. The nichse melug, but the maluk property, that's the one that he does not take responsibility for, and if anything, if it appreciates or depreciates, he's not entitled to take the profit, or does he have to incur the loss. If it's stolen or it's lost, she has to suffer the loss, and he is not obligated to pay for it. According to various editions, this is the end of the seventh paragraph. However, in later editions of the Rambam, paragraph 8 begun when he talks about the iron sheet property. However, this version, the way we're following, seems to be the more correct one. With this, the Rambam begins, Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Haisa Ailunis, I'm a chayvi lavin, v'lo hikirba. If this woman turns out to be a barren woman, or forbidden by a negative commandment, and he was not aware of it, Kol ma she'ovad aynignav, o vola, o she'nishchak, menichse tzom barzel, ein habal chayv l'shalim. Whatever was lost or stolen or faded or worn out of the iron sheep property need not be repaid by the husband, because she had given him permission to keep these with him. However, the Rambam continues, whatever was lost or stolen out of the Maluk property, the property that he does not take responsibility for, he is obligated to repay it. Hepech mikol hanashim. This is the opposite of the case of all the other women in this regard. Because there was no true marriage, no full-fledged marriage, therefore he does not acquire any of the rights to her maluk property. Normally, the situation is the reverse. Nichse tzom barzel, the iron sheep property for which the husband takes full responsibility for, that he doesn't have to pay for. However, nichsi melug, which the husband does not take responsibility for, this is, in this particular case, what he does have to pay for. Because in this case, there is no true marriage, therefore he never is entitled to the nichsi melug. While the nichsi tzom barzel, the iron she property, she is the one who gave it to him by allowing him to be with her. Even though she knew that he was forbidden to her, she was waiving her right to claim the payment of the iron sheet property. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. V'hamema enes, ein lebloyos klal, she'ein motziyim min habal davar, mima she'ovar anignav, minichaseha, bein minichse milug, bein minichse tzom barzol, elonotelos hanimtzala v'yotza. A girl who has exercised the right of refusal is not entitled to any of the worn-out things at all, because the husband is not liable for anything that was lost or stolen out of her property, either milug or iron sheep. She may take only what there is on hand of her own and go her way. The husband is entitled to say, if I would divorce her of my own accord, then I would give her everything that I took responsibility for. Since it is she who refuses to be with me, I don't have to really give it to her at this point. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Misha zin tzatachas bayla ein lo ksuba lo ikir v'lo tosfus. A woman who has committed adultery, while she's under her husband is not entitled to her ksuba, neither to the basic amount nor to the supplementary amount. The Rambam actually already said this in the earlier halacha, the sixth paragraph. But the Rambam is bringing this down again for the next few laws. Ve'ein motzin mehabal davar mimar she'avar or nignav menichsit zon barzo shelo, ve'ein tzarech lomar menichsim uluk. And her husband is not liable for any loss or theft of her iron sheet property, and it goes without saying the maluk property, she is not entitled to collect them from her husband. And the Rambam adds to this, Lo ha-mezana bilvad, el av ha-averas al-das Moshe, o al-das Yehudis, o ha-yotzis mishum shemra, ein lo ksuba, lo ikir, v'lo tosvus, v'lo tnai mitznoi ksuba. Not only a woman who has committed adultery, but also one who has transgressed the law of Moses, or Jewish practice, or one who was dismissed because of her ill repute, all of these have no ksuba, neither the basic amount nor the supplementary amount, nor are they entitled to any of the stipulations of the ksuba. The things that are considered to be violation of the laws of Moshe are those things that are written in the Torah. Those things that are called Jewish practice include the practices of modesty that Jewish women are accustomed to, and one who is dismissed because of her bad reputation is a reference to a woman who has done very immoral things, but we don't have evidence that she actually committed adultery. So she loses, all these women lose all of their privileges. Each of these women may take what there is on hand of her dowry, whatever she brought in and is still there, she can take, and she goes her way. The husband, in turn, is not liable for repayment of anything that he has caused to depreciate or anything that he has lost. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Ve'elu heim advarim shim asos ha'echad mehem ovra al das Moshe. And these are the things that if she did any one of these following things, she is considered to be transgressing the law of Moses. Yotza b'shuk usar rosh ha'golu. She goes out into the street with the hair of her head uncovered. Oshin aderes, oshin ishbas, v'ena mekayemes. Or if she makes vows, or she gives oathes, and she doesn't fulfill them. Oshin shimsha mitasa v'hinida, or she has relations with her husband, and she is in her menstrual period, and she didn't go to the mikveh. She doesn't keep the laws of family purity. Oshin ena kotza l'chala, she fails to set aside the dough offering, that we have to separate from the dough in order to be allowed to eat the whole batter. Oshin echilo es baila dvarim asurim, or she has given her husband forbidden food to eat. It goes without saying that if she gave her husband swarming or creeping creatures or a dead animal that wasn't slaughtered property, not only that, those are biblically forbidden. If she gave her husband untithed produce, nowadays the laws of tithing are only of rabbinical force. Now, how does one become aware of such a thing happening? For example, she says to him, Peres elu ploni kohen tiknam li. These fruits were tithed by this and this Kohen. In other words, although the Kohen doesn't have to separate it for himself, but nevertheless, if the Kohen is the one who tells her what to give and makes sure that she does it the right way, and she says that that was the Kohen who did it, or Ve'isa zu plonis ifrisha lichalasa, and this batter of dough, this and this woman was the one who separated the dough offering for me, uploni hachacham tihali isakesim, or if she says this rabbi has declared to me that this stain is ritually clean, that it is not a stain that would be attributed to menstrual blood, and therefore she is permitted to her husband. Now, this is what she told her husband. Now, after he had eaten the food, or after he had had relations with her, he asked that person, the one that she referred to, and he says, the whole thing is not true. It never really happened. So we know that she was lying. The same thing would apply if she is presumed by her neighbors to be menstruating, assuming that the neighbors saw her wearing the special garments that were traditional for women to wear during their period, but she tells her husband, I am clean, and then he has relations with her. In this case, she would not be entitled to collect her ksuba or any of the other rights that go along with it. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Ve'eza hidas Yehudis. What do we mean when we say that she violates Jewish practice? Hu minig hatzniu shenagu b'nos Yisrael. This a reference to the custom of modesty as observed by the daughters of Israel. These are the things that if she did any one of these following items, she is considered to be violating the Jewish practice. If she goes out into the street or into an open alley with head uncovered and without the veil worn by all women, even if her hair is covered with a kerchief, or if she spins in the street with a rose or a similar ornament in front of her face or her forehead or on her cheeks in the manner of brazen non-Jewish women, or if she spins in the street with her arms exposed to the public, or she was fooling around, playing around, and flirting with young men, or if she demands having relations from her husband in a voice so loud that her neighbors can actually hear her discussing these sexual matters, or if she curses her father-in-law in her husband's presence. Any of these are grounds for the second item that we mentioned before, a woman who violates Jewish practice, in which case she loses her privileges to the ksuba and accompanying financial rights. Halacha Yud Gimel 13. Ezra tikein shetia isha chogeres basiner tamid betoch beisa mishum tznius. Ezra, the one who was responsible for the second Beis HaMikdash, bringing the Jews back to Israel the second time, he was the one who instituted that a woman should always wear undergarments in her home that cover her private places because of modesty. However, if she does not wear them, she is not transgressing the law of Moses and therefore does not forfeit her ksuba. In other words, this is an extra measure of modesty that is required even in one's home, but violating this does not make her violating the law of Moshe. Thus also, if she goes from courtyard to courtyard within the same alley with her hair uncovered, she does not transgress the law as long as her hair is covered with a kerchief. Halacha Yudalot 14. The woman who transgresses the law forfeits her ksuba only after she was warned and on the testimony of witnesses. Now, if she transgresses while she and her husband are alone, and he knows that she is transgressing and warns her, but without witnesses being present, and if she then transgresses again, and then he claims she transgressed after she was warned, and then she claims, I didn't transgress at all, or she says, he didn't warn me. This is what we do. If he wishes to send her away, he must pay her the ksuba after she gives an oath that she did not transgress. For should she admit that she had transgressed after this warning, she would be entitled to nothing. Halacha Tezvah 15. Ketzad hiyotza mishum shemra. How does a woman to be dismissed on the ground of ill repute? Kigon shahayu sham edim sha'asa sadavim mechor b'yosa shahadvarim marin shahayisa sham aveira. Avo pisha ain sham edis beruda biznos. For example, if witnesses testify that she has done something exceedingly unseemly, indicating that a transgression has been committed, even though there is no clear evidence that she committed actual adultery. Ketzat, kagon shehoisa b'chatz levada v'ro rocha yotze, v'nichasu miyad b'shas yitziyasa o'matzu osa omedes mi'al hamita v'hiloveshes hamichnasayim o'chageres ezora. Osha matzu rok lach l'mayla min hakila, osha hoya yotze mimakim ofil, o mylan zeze min habar v'kiyotze bo, osha ro uhu menashik al pichaluka, osha ro osa menashik zeze omegavifin zeze, osha nichnasu zeh achazeh v'higifud losos v'kiyotze b'dvarim elu, im ratz habal hotziya teitzi b'lo ksuba v'ein zu tzricha hasra. The Rambam now gives us in detail what would be considered to be in the category of ill repute. If, for example, she's alone in the courtyard, and people seeing a spice peddler come out, immediately at the moment of his exit, they enter and they find her rising from the couch and putting on her trousers or tying her belt, or they find moist saliva above the canopy of the bed, or if both of them come out of a dark place or help one another to ascend from a pit or the like, or if they see him kiss her at the opening of her garment, or see them kiss or hug each other, or if the two of them enter a place one after the other and shut the doors, or act in a similar manner. In any case such as these, if the husband wishes to send his wife away, to divorce her, she may be dismissed without her ksuba, and no warning is required. Halachat Hazayin, paragraph 16. Overos Adas Moshe or Das Yehudis, v'chein zo she'osis ha'davra m'chor, ein kofin ha'sabal ha'otzi, ela imrotzo lo yotzi. In the case of the woman who has transgressed the law of Moshe, or deviated from Jewish practice, as well as the one who has done something unseemly, the husband is not forced to divorce her. If he wishes to retain her, he may do so. And even if the husband does not divorce them, they are not entitled to their ksuba, even if they subsequently get the divorce. Because the only reason the ksuba was enacted by the sages was that it should not be easy for the husband to send his wife away, to divorce her. In this enactment, the rabbis were only concerned for the virtuous daughters of Israel. As for these immoral daughters, the safeguard is not for them. On the contrary, let the husband think lightly of dismissing such a woman. They would be quite happy if the husband would give her a divorce, because this is not the type of woman that a man should keep in his home. Halacha Yedzayin, 17. Misha ra ishta shuzinsa, or sha'amr lo achas mikrovosav, o mikrovoseha, shahum aminam, besamechas daito alehin shuzinsa ishto, bein shahaya ha'omer ish, bein shahay se isha, hoil besamcha daito l'dobre zeshe hu emes, hari ze chayev lohotzi, v'asa lo lovo aleha, v'yitin ksuba. If a man sees his wife committing adultery, or if one of his or her relatives, in whom he places credence and relies upon them, tells him that she has committed adultery, whether the informant is a man or a woman, once his mind is firm in the belief that the information is accurate, he is obligated to give her a divorce and is forbidden to have relations with her. He must, however, pay her her ksuba. V'im hodas lo shezinsa, teitzi b'lo ksuba. And if she confesses to him that she had committed adultery, she leaves without her ksuba. L'fichach mashpia b'nikitas chefet shelo zinsa tachtov, im ra osa ba'atzmo, v'achakach tigba ksubasa. Therefore, if only he himself had seen her commit adultery, he must make her give an oath while holding a sacred object that she had not committed adultery while under him, and only then may she claim her ksuba. If, however, he did not see it himself, but someone else is the one who saw her commit adultery, the husband cannot subject her to an oath unless she is already subject to an oath for some other reason, in which case this matter may be added on to it also. That's the principle of a Gilgal Shvua, that when you have to give an oath in court, they will have you give other oaths, even though otherwise you would not have had to give those oaths in court. And only if she makes that oath would she be able to get her ksuba. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Amru lo ishto, shezinsa tachta b'ritzona, ein mashgichin l'dvareha, shema eineha nasna ba'acher. If a woman tells her husband that while under him she has committed adultery of her own free will, we pay no attention to her statement, because it is possible that she might have cast her eyes on another man, and therefore she wants to get a divorce. Aval of the ksubasa iker v'tosvus v'av de hablois shareheidas biznus. However, she does forfeit her ksuba, that is both the statutory as well as the supplementary amount. She also loses her right to worn out garments, because she has admitted herself to adultery. However, if the husband believes her and puts credence in her words, he is obligated to divorce her. The court, however, may not compel a man to divorce his wife for any of these causes, unless two witnesses come forth and they testify that this woman committed adultery, and it was in their presence that she committed adultery, and of her own free will. Only thereafter may they compel him to divorce her. Halacha Yutes, 19. Ha'isha shazinta tachas baila bishgaga o ba'ones harayzum meteres l'baila. Shunem ravihilo nispasa. Ha nispasa meteres. Bein shanasa goy, bein shanasa Yisrael. If a woman, while under her husband, has committed adultery unwittingly, or she was forced into it, she is permitted to her husband, as it is said in the book of Numbers, neither she be seized, implying that if she was seized, she is permitted, whether she was raped by a non-Jew or by a Jew. V'chol sh'tchilas b'yasa ba'onas, afa pi sh'sofa b'ratzon, v'afilo amra hanicholo sh'il molilo anasosi ha'isis ch'rato, hareza mitaris. Any woman who is forced into having relations is permitted to her husband, even if she finally agreed to it. And even if she says, leave him alone, for had he not overpowered me, I would have hired him to do so. We still don't pay any attention to that, for she has no more than succumbed to impulse. And at the outset, she was indeed forced into having relations, and therefore she is not forbidden to her husband. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Nashim shaganvu osam listim, harehin kishvuya shehin anusos, umataris lebaleihin. Women kidnapped by robbers are regarded the same as captive women who are subjected to duress and are therefore permitted to their husbands. V'im henichun v'holchel alistim yatzman, hareelu baratzon v'asuras lebaleihin. If, however, the robbers had let them go unmolested and they went along with the robbers of their own volition, they are considered guilty of willful misconduct and are therefore forbidden to their husbands. V'din ha-shogeges v'din ha-neses echad hu, she-hashkaga tzad onus yeshba. Now the law of a woman who commits adultery unwittingly and the one acting under duress are really the same. The same law applies to both of them because an unwitting act has an element of duress in it. Now the definition of unwitting commission of adultery does not mean that she thinks that it is permissible to commit adultery. That is not considered unintentional. That is considered intentional because she does have intention to not be faithful to her husband, and she would be forbidden to her husband. What is meant here by unwitting or unintentional violation of the law of adultery is in a case where two women are in one home, and the man has intention to have relations with his wife, and by mistake he had relations with the other woman, she also thinking that this wasn't really her husband. Halacha Chafalaf, 21. Bamed varam amurim. When does the foregoing apply? B'shahaya baila Yisrael. If the husband was an Israelite. Aval eshes kohen shesharyiga o shenensa asura labaila. However, if she's the wife of a kohen, and then she had relations with someone unwittingly, or she was forced into it, she's forbidden to her husband. Shahare nasi zona mikol makam v'hu asa bezona k'moshi yisbara b'hilchos yisuri biya. The reason for this is because in either case she has acquired the status of a harlot, and he is forbidden to a harlot, as will be explained in the laws concerning forbidden relationships. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Echad Eishes Yisrael, o Eishes Kohen Shenansa, Ksubasa Kayemis. It makes no difference whether it is the wife of an Israelite or the wife of a Kohen who was raped, that in either case they are entitled to their ksuba, even though the wife of the Kohen cannot return to her husband, but she doesn't forfeit her ksuba. Ha'ikar v'hatosefes, the basic amount, as well as the supplementary amount. V'lo hifsida miksubasa klum, she doesn't lose anything of her ksuba. V'kofin es ha'kohen litum lo ksubasa lagarsha, and we then force the Kohen to give her the ksuba and then to divorce her. He can't keep her. Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. Eishes Kohen she'amru labayla nenasti o shegagti v'nevalti la'acher. Ein achoshesh l'devareha shema ineha nasna be'acher. The wife of a Kohen who says to her husband, I was either raped or I unintentionally had relations with another man, we do not pay any attention to her words, lest she has cast her eyes on another person and she wants to get her divorce. However, if the husband believes his wife, or someone who he relies on had told him this, he must get rid of her, he dismisses her, and he gives her the ksuba. Halacha Chavdal, paragraph 24. Ha'omale ishto b'fnei shnayim. Al tisteri im ish ploni. If a man says to his wife in the presence of two witnesses, do not seclude yourself with this and this person. Now what happened? She did in fact seclude herself with that man in the presence of two witnesses, and she waits there long enough to be defiled, to have had relations with him. She's forbidden to her husband until he gets her to drink the bitter waters, as will be explained in the laws concerning the wayward woman. If he dies before he gives her the drink, before he brings her to the temple to administer this special potion of bitter waters to drink, she loses her ksuba. And even though they did not find any unseemly behavior on her part, it nevertheless holds true here that she loses her ksuba because there's nothing more unseemly than what she did here, that she was alone with this man in spite of her husband's warning. In the present day, when there is no longer the recourse to giving one's wife to drink of the bitter waters, she then becomes forbidden to her husband forever. And she must also leave her husband without benefit of the ksuba, neither the basic amount nor the supplementary amount, because her evil actions have caused her to become forbidden, and therefore she forfeits all her financial rights. Halacha Chaf Hei, paragraph 25, and the final halacha of this chapter. Amar la beino le beino, al tistere mish ploni. The husband says to his wife privately, do not seclude yourself with this and this person. V'ra osa shenistere imo v'shar sekadei tuma, harezu asura olav bizman hazeh she'en sham mei sota, v'chayev lahotzi v'itin ksuba. Now he sees her secluding with that person, the one against whom he had wanted to be with, and she was with him long enough to become defiled. She is then forbidden to her husband nowadays that there is no longer the availability of the bitter waters that is given to the sota, to the wayward woman, and he is obligated to dismiss her and give her her ksuba. Since he is making the accusation on the basis of his own knowledge, not on the basis of witnesses, he's not believed to be able to cause her to lose her ksuba. If she confesses that she was secluded with that man after he had warned her not to do so, she must leave without her ksuba. And therefore, the husband must first make her swear, give an oath, and only then pay her her ksuba. She must swear that she did not commit adultery, and only then does she get her ksuba. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Chavdalit, Hilchos Ishus, chapter 24 of the laws concerning marriage.